We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Final hour. Jay Binkley with Steven Serta producing the operation. What's going on in college football? Even Ian Rappaport, that covers the NFL. Chris Peterson stepped down from Washington, and they named current defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake the new head coach. That was quick. No search. What? Well, that's a hand-run deal, man. You're going to promote him. Chris Peterson's a good coach. 92-12 at Boise State, 54-26 at Washington. I get the last couple years haven't gone his way, although he had back-to-back-to-back at least 10-win seasons at Washington, 12-2, 10-3, 10-4. It's a lot of jobs open in college football. Arkansas, Boston College, Florida State, New Mexico, Missouri, Ole Miss, UNLV, South Florida. Yeah, Missouri's got to get on the ball. Now, there's not too many to say, well, Missouri has to hire a coach over somebody else. But there's some definitely good schools out there lurking. Arkansas, SEC, Florida State, you name it. Now, University of Washington would be maybe that, but they've already hired their guy. Surprised they didn't pick up the phone and call Pinkel. Yeah. Try to get back at Washington. Try to call Gary Pinkel out there. Andy Reid, of course, did you see that stat yesterday? Fourth best winning percentage in the month of December. With some high company, again, you win in the month of December, you can win at any point. Andy Reid had his weekly press conference just a little bit ago. Here's Big Red.
All right, so no injuries for you right now. The guys are coming in now, so... good team win yesterday. I mentioned about Mike Mayock and John Gruden after the game that I think they're doing a great job with the Raiders, and they're building that thing back. And that's great for the National Football League. It's also great for the AFC West competition. So I'm proud of our guys and the job that they did, the coaches, coordinators, the game plan that they put together. I thought our guys executed it. We came out with plenty to work on and improve on, and we'll get busy on that tomorrow. There were some good individual things that took place yesterday. Some of our young guys stepped up. Juan had a nice pick six, you know, which I thought was impressive. And, you know, it was good to get Thompson in the game, get him a couple carries, and I liked what he did, and so on. So, anyways, there are plenty of those things to go around. I appreciate the fans and the support that we had. That was a cold, windy day, and they easily could have stayed close to the fireplace, but they didn't. They came out and supported us, which my hat goes off to them for that. And then now we move on. So we're deep as coaches. We're deep and looking at and watching the New England tape and getting ourselves ready for that game and making sure that we get ourselves better as a football team in the meantime. So with that, time for sure.
You know, when he can say the New England Patriots are a good football team, because that's believable. That was kind of a ringing endorsement for Darwin. I like what he did. You know, Andy will say some things. You pick up on it. Darwin really did himself some favors in that game. And I think Darwin, I mean, you think about this. Up at training camp, it was that he couldn't pass block. That was his big knock. And I think he might have gotten more run. Could he? They kept defending him and said he can pass block. He was blown up on a pass block up at St. Joe. But then in the preseason, I mean, turned it around, had a decleater. Here's more Andy Reid.
So you guys like Darwin Thompson, but why does it take so long? And injuries to two other guys to get him some real playing time.
Yeah, just the experience. We've eased him in there just a bit, and we're trying to look for opportunities to get him in. And then just he's continued to improve on special teams, which ended up being a big thing, you know, for that position. So he kind of found a nice little niche in there. It was a on the punt team, so it's been good that way.
He ran the ball 11 times on that 14-play drive. Was there just a thought process just letting him get that work, and it was a little tired working through things, or is there still some load management ideas with McCoy?
No, I had load management for Thompson is what I had. I was going to give him the ball. I just wanted to get, the more he carries it and gets a feel for things, I think the better he'll be as we finish up the stretch here of the season. And it was an opportunity, so I thought it was important. He was in with the number one line for the most part, and it was against their defense, the starting defense. So I thought it was important that he got as many carries as possible. Now he got a little tired in there, but that's when we put Sherman. So.
Did you anticipate utilizing him a little bit more as the season? Has he shown enough to you now?
Well, we wanted to keep bringing him along. We'll see how that goes. Darryl's injury looked like he had a hamstring, and that didn't look very good. So there's probably a pretty good chance he doesn't play. And so that would be, Darwin, he's got to be ready to go. So
I like to watch how people react when someone scores. And he looks like some of the players love the other guys around there. They were really excited for him to get his chance.
Yeah, no, he doesn't say much. He's real quiet, works his tail off, and so the guys were excited for him. And he's one of those guys that he's not the biggest guy, but he works his tail off in the weight room, and he works his tail off at practice. He studies like crazy, and so doesn't say much. He just goes out and plays, and normally guys are attracted to that. They like him. He's got a good way about him.
Andy, what would you say is, as a rookie trying to understand the NFL offense is obviously a process. Where would you see him find the most comfort from the beginning of the season to now in terms of what they're saying?
I think he's getting better at protections, which is always the toughest thing. But he'll learn something from this game, carrying the ball, just on the different blocking schemes, when you kind of need to hit it and when you could take another step or two to set some things up. There are things in there that the experience helps. But I would tell you, from the beginning until now, it's the pass protection part of it that where he's improved the most.
There you go right there, Serta. This is the Darwin Thompson press conference. You're right there. You know how much Andy Reid cares about pass protection. It's Pat Mahomes. What are you going to do in pass protection? Again, this is Andy Reid's biggest thing. Can you protect Pat Mahomes? Clearly, Darwin's made some strides in that area. Yeah, he likes how he ran the football. He'd rather pass protect for Pat Mahomes. But really telling there for Andy Reid. Really liking Darwin Thompson in the pass blocking. He seems really pleased with Darwin. This has been a Darwin Thompson press conference.
After the game, Derek Carr kind of went on and on about the play Tyron made on the pick that he had, about how he fell off and did it. When you went back and watched the film, I guess, as quickly as he recognizes things, how do you, as a player, not give it away that you're going to come too quickly or kind of bait a guy in that sense? How do you get that skill set that Tyron has?
Yeah, he's got a knack for it. He's had that since college. He just had that great feel for the game. When I first had a chance to sit down and talk with him, he reminded me a lot of Patrick that way. Just their sense of the game and feel for the game is special. So I think that's Tyron. I think that's his strength as a player. And he works very hard at the game, but I think he also has this innate ability and instinct for the game.
Can he teach that to other guys in the secondary, or is that just something he has?
Yeah, he's been great, for one. He's been great. He's always talking. And Juan's a smart kid who also has good instincts, but just knowing the game, catching up, I think that Tyron's been great for him in that way.
And it seemed like Patrick was moving around quite a bit yesterday, especially in the first half. How much of that was designed to move him out of the pocket versus just
Yeah, so the last couple of weeks we've been doing a little bit more of that. You've seen that. He's so good at it. He's so good at doing it naturally. And he had a few of those too, but there are things that we've asked him to do by moving the pocket a little bit. And And it's only because that plays into his game. I mean, he's very good at that.
Looking ahead to New England for a minute, beyond what's at stake on Sunday, you guys could win a division. Do you guys need to beat those guys after the way they beat you twice last year?
Yeah, well, that's a loaded question because we try to, beat everybody, and that's what you try to do, sure. Right? So we're going to do our best to play our best, and so that's where it comes back when I say we've got New England coming up here. Yeah, we do. We've got to make sure we take care of ourselves and get ourselves better and focus on that. I still understand what they're presenting us, the game plan part of it. Defensively and then offensively, what are they going to present us there? And then we've got to keep working our fundamentals and techniques and do the things we need to do to improve as a team. So that's what we're going to focus on.
Coach, yesterday after the game, you touched on the challenge of the pass interference rule. And I'm thinking big picture here. Recently, Sean Payton suggested a 3-expert panel to help review it. How much do you agree with that suggestion, and how much would you like to see this rule revisited during the offseason to help make some improvements?
Yeah, I think it will be revisited. I mean, that's just the league does that. They're going to try to perfect everything, and so they painstakingly they'll go over everything. That's what the competition committee does. That's why it's there. So they'll hit this will be a topic, I'm sure, since it's new. I mean, my experience with it is that's how the league does it. So, and we'll see. The league's always going to do, I've been around long enough to know they're always going to try to do what's best for the league. And not that this is right or wrong, but if they feel, and they don't shy away from it, they look at things and then they go, all right, this is good. Let's try to make it even better. This isn't very good. Well, let's try to make it better. Well, we can't, boom, get rid of it. I mean, they're not afraid to do that. So whatever way this, I can't tell you which way this goes. I mean, I don't know that. But I know the league will look at it. I mean, I think we do. I think the league does a great job with that.
How do you agree with Peyton's suggestion, though, to have a 3-person panel review this to help New York?
Yeah, I'm not sure there aren't 3 people involved if you include the officials. So I'd have to talk to Sean to see exactly where he's coming from. I don't know exactly the direction he was talking, so I'm not going to answer that. I could just tell you, though, that however they look at it, they're going to, they'll evaluate it.
How do you personally, how do you guys determine what your threshold is for when you'll throw a flag? Because clearly that was pass interference, but how do you know?
Yeah, I was asked that last night. It's a bit subjective, but I have guys in the box that are helping me with it. And then our replay, you try to look at the replay yourself. And listen, there have been a couple that have been overturned, so there's an opportunity there potentially. So you make a subjective decision. I mean, that's what it ends up being. On the evidence that you think is available there.
Coach, a couple more guys. He's closing in on another 1,000-yard season, and
Let me just add one thing. So it has to be at real time too when you're seeing it. So sometimes they're not going to slow it down to he grabbed a little bit there. So it's real time that they're looking at. Good.
Kelsey's coming in closing in on another 1,000-yard season, and you've always had tight ends be a big part of the offense, but. Are there things like about Travis that's like you have pat plays? Are there things you can do with Travis that maybe you couldn't do with other tight ends?
Yeah, well, he's a special player, so we can move him all over the place. He's got a good feel for it. And, the crazy part is he can continue to get better, which is a need done. He wants to get better. That's maybe more important than having the ability to get better. So he wants to get better at all areas of his game. Which makes it enjoyable to coach the guy. So, and you've seen him grow over the years, as a player and as a teammate and all those things. So, he's got great ability. He knows how to play the game. He's another one of those guys that has got a good feel for it.
In the two straight games with having the offensive line be stabilized. I know you mentioned before that there was some concern about maybe what the offense can do if there's so much movement and fluidity at the offensive line. Watching that unit, just what do you like so far, and where do you think there are ways that can improve? And as the season goes on, are there more things you feel like you can open up on offense because you have the five guys that you sort of assumed you would have all season?
Yeah, well, you like to have that experience up there. I thought we started off slow there, and I thought we got better as it went on, as far as the game went. And I, you know, I'm hard on that group. I watch that group closely. You know, Andy's done a nice job piecing that whole thing together, and then he's got his guys back there. But I expect a lot out of them. And I thought as the game went on that they got better and played more like I think they're, you know, capable of playing. So they're going to keep building that, and you know, we got room to continue to get better there.
Last one,
Coach. One of the things that you guys had talked about a lot last week was improving on the penalties. You improved greatly this last week. I'm assuming if you get called for 12 penalties, you probably don't feel like you deserve all of those. If you get none penalties, do you feel like you did that well, or did you just kind of get a kind whistle too? Did you see what you wanted to see on your guys?
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't get any penalties. The fact that people are mentioning that probably means that doesn't happen very often in this league, right? So, I mean, I just want us to continue to focus on our fundamentals and techniques. I want us to work in a practice, do those things, and then go play. And normally you'll come out on the better end of penalties if you do those things.
And lastly, I saw your episode of Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives was on. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience, shooting that show and eating some food?
It's a great restaurant, number one. Guy does a nice job. He's got a good thing going there, you know. So it's amazing that he's as skinny as he is, eating all the food that he eats. That's not the only show he did that day, and he's able to keep his weight down. So, but Pigway's a good place to eat.
Thanks.
Yep. All right.
That was some good Andy Reid. All right, so he was in a lot of things to digest there from Andy Reid. But one of the things, Guy Fieri, Andy Reid was doing Diners, Drives, and Dives with Guy Fieri. If you don't know Food Network, Guy Fieri goes around and he eats at these wonderful places that always make me hungry whenever he's chowing down. Have you seen this clip of him eating that burger? Andy Reid was very, very, very happy. I don't know when this thing was filmed. Andy Reid just tore this thing up.
And it's what I expected Andy Reid to look like while he was eating.
But it's perfect, though. I mean, he's got a future in this. It was good. His reaction, you know, nothing on the stash. You know, it was perfect form by Andy Reid. Where did they film this thing at? He keeps talking about that restaurant being good. You notice he wouldn't mention what that restaurant was. Which text line? Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line 69306. I know you guys will know this. Well, half of you will make something up and you'll pull it out of your butt, and half of you might actually know the answer to this. But let me know what this restaurant is. I'm curious where Andy Reid was with Guy Fieri. When is this episode air? Was this episode already on and we missed it? And if we did, why didn't Pete Sweeney have this information at arrowheadpride.com? When did Andy Reid and where did he go to eat? Because that burger looked fantastic. I want to go try it. If Andy Reid likes it, I'll like it. I got to know. But anyway, Andy Reid, Diners, Drives, and Dives. Where was he at? Seriously, let me know because I'm very curious about that. But to the football sense of it, he was talking a lot about Darwin Thompson, you know, gaining his confidence as far as pass protection. That's what you needed to do. Remember when he got here? I mean, he didn't really evaluate receivers as far as some of the things they did, but catch the football. Catch the football, ball security. You know how to get in Andy Reid's doghouse, so these guys know how to get in the doghouse. Pass protection, a main one of those problems. Andy Reid will not have you play running back unless you're better at pass protection. And you're seeing this, and it's ball control, it's pass protection. This is what he considers. Now, he kind of poo-pooed the penalties and talked about how people are talking about the Chiefs and their lack of penalties. The reason it's a story is just the market improvement of the Chiefs. They're in the bottom half of the league now. They're 23rd in penalties in the NFL, 12th in yardage, so they are top half as far as yards concerned, but 23rd in being flagged for penalties. But that's showing up what you're doing. That is being a more disciplined team. You're kind of losing that moniker as a team that's always penalized. You know, win and out, penalize the team that's always penalized. Like the Raiders, they found themselves up near the top. They're second in the NFL in yards and penalties, just one behind Jacksonville, which, by the way, has named Gardner Minshew the starting quarterback going forward, by the way, for your information. But the Chiefs didn't have penalties. And you're talking about a team with 17 for over 200 yards the last two games. That's a significant deal. And I know people are talking about it for a reason. The Chiefs led the NFL in penalties. They led the NFL in penalty yards. Again, this is how you go from good to a great NFL team, is kind of limiting those penalties. I thought Andy Reid was on point today. I enjoyed what he had to say. And this pass interference thing he's talking about, it's a complete joke. How the NFL, that prints money, they seem more destined to have international games than fix their own sport. You know, they were talking about that end zone camera for a while and how much money it was going to be, which is totally ridiculous. And some coaches called the NFL out on that. They can afford it. They print money. I've always advocated the first down marker camera. What do you think of this idea, Serta? These GoPros, these cameras, you can put them on anything. What about a first down marker? And I get it'd be a little bit heavier and it's so flimsy now you put it. First down marker, because to me, where the ball is spotted is so all over the place. That's a problem. Haven't you seen bad ball placement? You're like, why'd the official put it there? First down camera. You can find out exactly if it's a first down or not. Put a camera on the damn first down marker. The NFL could do it. Hell, they put them in pylons. Do it. If I was going to change one thing, that'd be it. You know, the NBA is talking all these things about an in-season tournament, cutting their league down to 78 games. The NBA is trying to be proactive and let's do something different. And I think the rest of the leagues look at that and then copy off what the NBA does at times. Be creative. Set the trend. Fix the officiating, because there is no rhyme or reason, and Andy Reid is right. The competition committee is going to be dealing with, because Sean Payton started it last year because he got screwed of going to the Super Bowl because of pass interference. This is a problem in the National Football League. Make all the officials full-time, not just part of them, not half of them. Make them all full-time. They're already paid enough as it is. You know what? Hockey League, what, used to be a lawyer. A lot of these guys sell insurance or whatever, and then they're NFL officials, or they'll do college, then the NFL. Everybody on the same page. That's the biggest problem, the interpretation. You know, I was with Romo yesterday. He was talking about pass interference. He didn't know what they're going to call. We don't know what. I don't know what they're going to call. I hold my breath a lot of times. You're watching the game, and you want somebody to win, and it's coming down to a call one way or the other, and it looks visible to the eye. We had Bill Moss on the show last week. And that's one thing we talked about, the quality of televisions now. We're all officials. We can see things just as well as they can or even better. With high definition, it has changed the game, and it's made everybody an official sitting at home. Major League Baseball seems to get this stuff right. There are people at a bar, six-pack deep, that know what is right and wrong within 20 seconds. The cameras, sky cams, you name it, is so much better. And the quality of television is so much better in high definition. How we're watching, how we're viewing the game, it's made officials out of us all. Get it right. It's no longer this, you know, you're watching on a fuzzy 19-inch TV. No, it's 2019, man. Use the technology. And I know for years the NFL has kind of been dabbling with this computer chip in footballs that eventually may be the end-all be-all. They've already been able to wire up shoulder pads. Heck, the Big 12 did that for a while. They probably still do it, where you monitor through these sensors on equipment. So coaches can literally tell where you can't hide. They can literally tell, not that the camera, you're not going to lie with the camera, but they can literally tell where your body placement is because of the sensors that are on your body. But again, it's very simple. The NFL prints money. Get it right. The number one thing bothering this league right now is poor officiating. When the fans of this league can't tell, even guys that are paid like Mike Pereira, can't tell what is tripping and what isn't tripping. And a Troy Aikman sitting in the booth knows what tripping is and what it isn't. And everybody watching the game at home or have a Twitter account knows what tripping is and knows what tripping isn't. We'll talk about the Chiefs-Raiders one last time. Several things stood out in this game, but two things really stood out in this game against the Raiders. Discuss that next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Final half hour. Jay Binkley with Steven Serta, who's going to be cutting the Forced Punt podcast, talking fantasy football with you, as he does twice a week, Mondays and Wednesdays, 435 Podcast Network. It's really your go-to. I don't know if you guys have checked that out yet. Serta spent a lot of time putting that bad boy together. There's something for everybody. It's kind of like the Golden Corral of audio. And when I mean that, Serta, I mean you could take somebody there and everybody will eat anything. I mean, everything. You want Mexican food, Chinese food, Italian food, whatever, everybody's happy. If you got a whole group of people, you say, you know what, shut up, let's go to the Golden Corral. I'm not kidding, not endorsed by them, I'm just saying they have everything. It's a Disneyland of food. But the 435 Podcast has something for everybody. You like Missouri? True Sun Podcast, Brandon Kiley. You like Kansas State? John Kurtz, Faithful to Our Colors Podcast. You like Kansas? Mastery Podcast, Sean Levine. You like barbecue and football talk? Download my football and barbecue podcast. You like fantasy football? None better than what Steven Serta and Dusty Likens do. The Dirty Werewolf, twice a week on Mondays and Wednesdays. What's going to be the hot topic today, Serta? What's going to be dropping tonight? Gardner Minshew? Gardner Minshew, the new QB in Jax? What are you expecting from Minshew Mania?
Not a lot, but we are going to talk some waivers today. And we're going to start kind of taking a look at guys who, as we head right before the fantasy playoffs, going to start kind of taking a look at guys who have drastically improved their draft stock for next season.
You can hear Steven Serta at 9 o'clock each Sunday giving you the latest sits and starts in fantasy football. You always like fantasy football, or is this something you recently got into? Has this always been your jam?
I've always been a big fantasy guy.
Isn't it nice that the NFL's starting to embrace it? Remember when they didn't? Remember Tony Romo? Speaking of him, they were going to have him go speak at a fantasy football thing, and the NFL didn't want him to do it.
Yeah, but now they've got stakes in DraftKings. So.
Yes, now they do. Because they realize, like Adam Silver did in the NBA, and I'll credit him again for this, he said, I want people to watch a bad NBA game on Thursday nights. Why? Because they have skin in the game. You know what? Gamblers sometimes have rating books. And you know what? Gamblers are going to watch the whole product. Gamblers are not going to turn in for 15 minutes and then turn it off. Gamblers are going to stay till the end of the game over the overs and unders, the cover being met. And I'm serious. I think the ratings go up for these sports that have always been battling the television and local product when gambling keeps getting approved sports books across the country. Missouri and Kansas, we haven't got to that point yet, although it looks like it's a foregone conclusion. Once the Supreme Court said, all right, states, you can do what you want. And then all of a sudden, these leagues wanted integrity fees. It's kind of like, well, Vegas has never paid you integrity fees. You know, Atlantic City, New Jersey's never paid you integrity fees. You have to drive to Iowa now or Nebraska or, Iowa or Arkansas, and pretty soon you can do it in Missouri and Kansas. By the way, text line, you guys are very good, very resourceful. Many of you have told me where this place that Andy Reid ate was. It is not a sponsor, although they could step up. But this place looks fantastic. I've been looking at their menu. It's kind of about everything I want, Serta. And Andy, this is like Andy Reid all over, man. Cheesesteak, pork briskets, pork tenderloins, short rib burger, East Bottoms burger. Unbelievable stuff. I might have just given it away there. But I'm saying, this is an Andy Reid place. I'm sure they said, Coach, Guy Fieri, you want to go talk about these? I've got to make a trip here now. I've always been looking for the best burger in Kansas City, and I've gone to pretty much all of them. I know Channel 9 put out a list of the top five. So, and Wachowski, I'll give Wachowski did this with me. He like picked them out and he went to them, and I'll give him credit for that. But there's a few that I went to, but I'm definitely going to be trying this place out. Andy Reid, by the way, this is how impressive and detailed he is. And this is kind of silly, but Jeff Schwartz once tweeted out that Andy Reid knew when the burn-ins were freshest at the which barbecue restaurants. Like he had tweeted it out. So one day we're sitting there. I'm sitting there, and I was at the auditorium. I think I was in the front row there. And it was in between press conferences. I think it was when they brought in Hitchens, and I forgot what they did. They did multi-press conference. So Andy Reid just kind of sitting there between guys. And I looked up and I said, hey, coach, there was this tweet about you knowing when barbecue restaurants put out different things. Is this true or not? And he said it's true. Some cab driver, I guess, told him at one point. He literally knows when the best stuff comes out at its freshest. It's like a pregnant woman that knows when the donuts are the freshest in the morning. Like, that's Andy Reid and barbecue. That shows you his detail and how much he pays attention to it. So, yes, Andy Reid, I can't wait for this episode. The text line hadn't told me when this episode is on. You guys have let me down on that, but you have told me this location. I have found
It aired on November 29th.
Damn it!
Text line.
That was just like 2 days ago.
I'm sure it's available. I'm sure you could get it somewhere.
It's on
There's always
man.
A way to find it.
On the, this has already aired. Andy Reid's already made his debut on Diner, Drive, and Dives.
I'm sure you can find it online somewhere.
Where's Pete?
Where, I bet I could find it in 5 minutes, as a matter of fact.
Why didn't Pete find this out? This is something for Arrowhead Pride. I mean, he loves this kind of stuff. I mean, they had a bye week. They had a bye week, and Pete didn't know this. I bet Big Pete is sitting there eating there right now. Like, Pete didn't step up. He's looking for, like, they got everything there. This is something usually Pete has, but I digress. Anyway, I found it out. Thank you, text line. Sometimes I love you guys, sometimes I don't. But today I absolutely love the text line. Protein House, Eat with the Purpose text line, 69306. Plus, big shout out to Protein House. They got me hooked on a certain energy drink that I happen to drink all the damn time because of the Protein House. And it was a Big 12 tournament that stopped by one day. And we became best friends then. Since then. But two things stood out to me in the Raiders game, although a multitude of things. If I'm going to look at what the Chiefs did to the Raiders, several things. One, insert your dominance over the division. Make them what you have. And that's Pat Mahomes. That's Andy Reid. Show them things that they don't have that they want, which the Chiefs do with Pat Mahomes. The division, we've gone over this. Andy Reid, 25-3 against this division since 15, 18-3 after the bye week. You're not beating Andy Reid. I guess he has been beating him for the bye week, but it's very rare. 18-3 now after the bye week. But those things are good. The fact is, the defense stepped up, and the defense stepped up in the Chargers game as well. And again, the Raiders aren't that great of a team, but, you know, they can run the rock. Darren Waller, I think, is a tremendous tight end. He hasn't been playing well as of late. I thought he'd be a huge fantasy value this weekend. Did you call Waller a fantasy value, Serta? He didn't get in the end zone, but he did get 100 yards.
No, I mean, that's still, especially for the tight end position, that's still a very productive game. Get like 60 yards out of your tight end, you're pretty much just happy with it at this point.
But anyway, Darren Waller, big game. You expect that was going to happen. Jacobs had a big game, but all running backs do against the Chiefs. And Dalvin Cook was productive in the receiving game, even with the 71 yards rushing. So that was cool. It was cool to see them step up. That's the two biggest points. They stepped up for Mahomes, which I don't think defense has stepped up for Pat Mahomes in his career. I mean, going way back, high school, you name it. I haven't looked at his Pee Wee stats because they're not available. I have looked at their high school stats. Max Preps has those if you're ever curious about what Pat Mahomes did in the playoffs in high school. You can check it out at Max Preps for White House down in Texas. But that, and then the fact that they were able to salt the game by running the football. I mean, I can't even tell you. I'm a football dork, and little things get me excited. Toting the rock is one of them. And I know it's old school, whatever, running the football. Running the football does matter. And again, go to ESPN.com, NFL.com, Fox Sports.com, wherever you want. And look at team rushing yards, and look at what teams run the ball effectively, and look at the top 10 or top 11. And you say, wow, those teams are all destined for the playoffs. Either they're already in the playoffs, they're the best team. The top two teams in the NFL are the Ravens and the Niners. How are they doing this year? They're good because they can both run the football, salt away the clock. Because you know what? Running games travel. It doesn't matter if you're in snow. It doesn't matter if you're in rain. It doesn't matter if you're in wind. Running the football is effective. Let's say you're not having a good day passing. But you add the running game with the passing game, imagine the play action. Text line says no penalties. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of them. Not the top two things, but it's definitely in the top five. It's great. That's how you go from good team to great team, is wipe out the little bit of mistakes that the Chiefs did. This is go time for them. These 2 weeks were going to be imperative. And I know it was the Raiders. You know, we can laugh all we want about the Raiders, which many of you did when they got beat by the Jets handily. But again, it didn't matter because the Raiders could have come in here, won, got their mojo back, and been right there with the Kansas City Chiefs record-wise. With the Chiefs going on to the Patriots, they have the Titans, which they're not going to beat. They're not going to beat the Titans. Raiders have been beat by 31 points the last 2 weeks. Their stock is dropping fast, even though they were America's darlings a couple weeks ago. People talking about them catching the Chiefs, which you knew wasn't going to happen because the Raiders will find a way to lose the game at the end like they always do until they prove they won't. I can't believe it. The Chargers will find a way to charger. Raiders will find a way to charger. And the Broncos, hey, Drew Lock looked great. He did. But again, what are teams going to do when they scheme for Drew Lock? That was the first real tangible NFL tape besides preseason or going back and looking at Missouri film for Drew Lock. But, you know, he did something that the other quarterbacks haven't been able to do. Cortland Sutton even called it out after the game. Drew Lock didn't like the play call, changed the play call, which he shouldn't have to do, being a rookie making his first start. Told Cortland Sutton, run a fade. He runs a fade. Very happy with Drew Lock. And Drew Lock got the job done. Local product. Again, isn't it funny that a local kid may be the savior for the Denver Broncos? It's hilarious. Kansas City coming through once again for the Denver Broncos. I'll never forget Shane Ray having that Chiefs tattoo on his back. I don't think Broncos fans have ever forgotten that, too. He could have 20 sacks a year, or could have. He didn't, not there now. But he could have, and they would have never accepted him because he's a Kansas City guy. But the running game at the end was something that was cool because I was sitting here with Pete Sweeney, and I'm watching. I said, man, Mahomes could end up as a second week in a row where he's the leading rusher on the Kansas City Chiefs. That is not what you want to see, but I'll be honest with you, it is a nice weapon for Andy Reid. Pat Mahomes is so smart where everybody is. And Gus Bradley, he's the defensive coordinator of the Chargers. He said it the week before the Chiefs played him in Mexico City. He said Andy Reid's got a knack for spreading the football around and using every square inch of real estate. And if you're doing that, you know, the safeties are backed up, the corners are backed up, your linebackers are in coverage. And Pat Mahomes, which it's been wide open for him to run against the Chargers. I mean, it's not like he's breaking tackles at the line of scrimmage. It's been wide open. And when it's not, he slides. He does the right thing. He slides or goes out of bounds. He does the things because Pat Mahomes, where Pat Mahomes is, Matt Moore is fine, but this team's not going anywhere unless it has Pat Mahomes at the quarterback position. But it's those little things there that I saw from the Kansas City Chiefs that I was really happy. And I know it was 40-9. And we say, we'll nitpick. The offense wasn't great. They didn't put up big numbers. Pat Mahomes didn't light up the scoreboard. And I'll say this. They could have lit up the scoreboard. I do, and it was windy. Pat Mahomes could have thrown for more yards. They didn't need to. Why? Because Darwin Thompson stepped up. So much so, Andy Reid giving him credit about his pass protection, which is huge. Besides that, Andy Reid kind of gleamed a little bit. Talked about, you know, him running the rock a little bit. Can you imagine how good the Chiefs will be when all the pieces come together? We've been waiting for this defense to arrive, and they've shown signs this year. I'm with you. They have shown signs this year, but they've also shown signs where they haven't put everything together, and they've talked about it. You know, Tyrann Mathieu with James Palmer after the game, talking about how they sometimes haven't put this together. So much so, here's Ryan Clark from ESPN, what he had to say about the Kansas City Chiefs. He still says this Chiefs D is still an issue.
I think the Chiefs are good, but I would still put the Ravens and the New England Patriots above that team. When you look at this defense improving, it hasn't gotten to a point to where you think you can really count on them, especially against teams that can run the football. And this offense isn't clicking like what we saw last year. Now, we all feel like Patrick Mahomes could get it going at any time. Mm-hmm. And this team is good, but they're not as good as they were last year. And I believe that there are some teams that are better than they are right now in the AFC.
Yeah, we'll see it. Patriots getting a lot of crap because of their offense not being as good, even though the defense is pretty much nails for the Patriots. Chiefs are still scoring 29 points a game, third in the NFL. Ryan Clark did say that the Chiefs' D will be an asset, so he kind of went both ways on this.
We knew all year if this team was going to compete for an AFC championship that this defense had to make plays. They had to get better. Now, you go up against a good rushing attack today that got their yards with Josh Jacobs, but you were able to turn the ball over, get your team up on the scoreboard, and then play defense from back to front. And that's the way that this team is going to work. Steve Spagnuolo has implemented some things that would allow them to be creative defensively, which we didn't see last year. And if they can continue to pick things up and Patrick Mahomes gets things going, then we can see some excitement and some explosive things from this dynamic offense and dynamic team.
That was the story. That's Ryan Clark on ESPN. But there was some things, and you heard the talking heads talking about the Chiefs defense. Who'd Deion Sanders call? You ball, you get the call. He called Juan Thornhill. Juan Thornhill came up, made a huge stop on a fourth down. Juan Thornhill picked the ball off, took it to the house. Honey Badger baited Derek Carr into a throw, picked it off, and took it. All of a sudden, if the Chiefs can show this, the secondary's been good. They're fourth in DVOA. I think they're sixth now until they re-updated tonight. They'll put more DVOA, and I'll go over that tomorrow. But the improvement on the defense is what we've been waiting for. This is the one ingredient that you thought you'd get. And the excitement started through minicamp. The excitement started through OTAs and definitely through training camp. New system, 3-4 to the 4-3, even though it's a lot of hybrid and a lot of nickel with Steve Spagnuolo. But you brought Steve in. He took last year off. He said he went to NFL films all the time, watched stuff, kind of resurfaced, regrouped who he is. But guys on this team, just like Chris Jones talked about after the game, they know the game plan. You know, Pete Carroll, when he had his off time, he wrote a book. And, of course, you know, he won at the college level at USC. He's won in the NFL Super Bowl. But he had a book out. He talked about guys knowing their responsibilities. And when guys knew what they were doing, knew what position they were doing, where they didn't have to worry about everybody else and just did their job, things changed exponentially for his defense. This guy's a great defensive mind. Like Eric Berry always knew where guys went, but he always had to worry about what everybody else was doing. I think the Chiefs are getting to this point. I think Honey Badger had to worry a little bit where guys were going to line up at the secondary. He is the quarterback of that secondary. But all of a sudden, when the light bulb comes on and guys start to get it, you don't have to do that. You know the game plan. You know exactly what you're doing. And again, I felt like Chris Jones after the game really spelled it out and kind of said where they're at now compared they were last year with Bob Sutton. And I think it has been a tangible, noticeable difference with the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's Chris Jones telling it like it is after the game yesterday.
That was good effort by defense, I think.
Yeah. I feel like we played pretty well. We got to do better in the run game. I think we gave up 111 yards, so we definitely got to get better at that. But overall, I feel like we played okay. I feel like there's still room for improvement.
You're taking steps in the right direction.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, progression. Each week, that's what we plan around, getting better each week, each game. And I feel like we got better than we was 2 weeks ago.
What's it feel like having control of the AFC West now after this big win?
Feels like every other win, man. And, you know, every win in this league is important, especially against a division rivalry. Come out and execute it well. Defense played their butts off. My guy won, got his first interception for a touchdown. You know, you like to see things like that. But most importantly, it's about the win.
What about next week? Against the New England Patriots, and this is a team you'd really like to – establish a little bit something on just in case you're going to have to meet him again later.
Yeah, we know Tom Brady and Bill Belichick always have an excellent game plan. And, you know what we're against, and you got a preparation. You know, preparation is the key to those guys. You got to prepare better than them.
You mentioned Juan getting the pick six. How do you feel like the secondary as a whole is coming along and coming together these past couple of games?
They played exceptional. They two picks for today, right?
Yes, sir.
T5 got a pick, and that started us off. I think it was second down. T5 got the pick. And those things right there can kind of add the spark to the defense. You know, they gave us enough time to affect Derek Carr, forced him to throw. We got able to get out to Derek Carr, and that's what we expect them to do. You bring a veteran guy like T5 in and to coach the younger guys around him. And, you know, that's nothing but expected by T5.
All year you talked about the getting more acquainted with the game plan of Spagnuolo, the system. You feel you're running around freer now. Everybody's kind of on one unit now, just especially when you get to the stretch run here.
Yeah, I mean, it's week 13. If you're not acquainted with the game plan, I don't think you should be playing. Just simple as that. It's week 13. You know, we only got, 3 weeks left in the season? Three or four? So, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have the game plan by now, I don't think you should be playing. But I'm quite sure everybody on this defense has the game plan. I think we're utilizing it to our best ability, and we're making plays.
Chris, you mentioned Josh Jacobs. Is there anything in particular that you're seeing that maybe you guys can correct going into next week in the running game?
I'm going to watch film first before, you know, I'm not – never, ever will I call out one of my teammates. We just got to get better as a whole. Watch film, make corrections to our errors, and get better.
Chris Jones telling it like it is. I loved it. You know, he's talking about what last year. Is that an indictment on Sutton compared to them, all of them knowing the game plan now? I don't know, but I absolutely loved what Chris Jones had to say. Dude was serious, man. It's like a different side of Chris Jones. Steven's noticed it this year. I've noticed it as well this year. He's really taken upon this leadership role. By the way, I haven't read this yet, But Richard Deitch, who does the media watchdog, just tweeted us out. New media column. Jim Nance is preaching an idea to anyone who wants to listen. He says the NFL's replay challenge decisions during games should be mic'd with video for us to hear. Yes, Jim Nance. Let us all hear it. Don't you want in there? Don't you want to hear what they're saying, Stephen? This, by Jim Nance, is absolutely perfect.
I mean, not really.
You don't want to hear it?
Just so we can continue to prove what we already know? I don't think hearing it
but
is going
step
to make
their
them
game
better
up.
At their jobs.
They'll step their game up if, you know, we're listening to them.
I don't think
up,
so,
man.
I think it's clear that they don't like the rule and they would rather just get rid of it. That's why they don't care about it.
They're also mad that everybody's got high definition at home, too,
yeah,
and can see
so
all
just
their
get
mistakes.
Rid of the rule. It would make it better anyways. All it does is slow down the game. You don't care about it, and you're making it a point by not overturning it.
Oh, yesterday, both of them were pass interference. One was called. By the way, Brandon Kiley, The Drive, Carrington Harris, and Sean Levine coming up next. Brandon Kiley tweets out that he says, Brandon Kiley, big Mizzou guy. And he said, hey, Lane Kiffin's going to be the next coach at Mizzou, isn't he? Welcome that, Brandon. Lane Kiffin, even you get in this, you'd be a fan of Mizzou if that happens. Lane Kiffin, have you seen his Twitter account lately? He trolls everybody. Like, Mizzou would have Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin, I think, has learned. I think he learned from Tennessee. I think he definitely learned from the Raiders. Lane Kiffin has done really well at Florida Atlantic. Lane Kiffin is ready for that job. Not only that, I think kids would go play for him. Lane Kiffin back in the SEC. You kidding me, Missouri? Get this job done. Get this done. I want to see Serta going down to Columbia every week, getting some Shakespeare's pizza, having a good time. Brandon Kiley's not going to accept Lane Kiffin, but I will. I like Lane Kiffin, Brandon. I see you looking at me. I'll take some Kiffin. You know damn well you want to write for Rock'em Nation some Lane Kiffin articles. I'm looking forward to that, Brandon. I can't wait for the next article about old Lane. Can't wait for that. Huge thanks to Stephen Serta for joining us. Huge thanks to Kent Swanson, my Monday afternoon quarterback, as it was now. And, of course, Bill Moss with all his great insight that he had. The Drive, I'm sure, talks a ton about the Raiders and a ton looking forward. And if I know The Drive, they're going to talk Juan Thornton. I think that's pretty much a certain at this point. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Enjoy The Drive next.
Middays, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.